Good morning, everybody. Just turn your Bibles, Book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Just a couple things from the public reading. You know, guys, the Lord knows the big things and the little things, doesn't He? He knows the evil that was going to come through Hazael. He also just so happened that the king was talking to Gehazi when this woman came appealing for her land and her house. It's important to remember, brethren, God has everything in His hands. Now, things don't always go. Matter of fact, I would say often they don't go in accordance with what we think in the moment they should go. But we have a very limited scope, don't we? We can only see this moment. Most of us, I'll just say for myself, I have a hard time getting past history right. And I certainly have no ability to foresee, to look into the future. God knows. And you know, there are a lot of things that are going on in the physical realm. Big scale. You know, I don't know about you guys. I got to be careful not to get in trouble for saying this, but it shocks me that what it has come down to in this country is the two choices that we have to vote for the president of the United States. That does not look good to me, no matter which way it turns out. What we deserve as a country, and I think as a church, because we haven't done what we're supposed to do. But God knows. And He doesn't always protect us from evil, does He? And He protects us. He protects our soul. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. But part of being in this fallen world where sin is prevalent is there's going to be a cost that's associated with being here. And one of those costs, guys, ever since sin started in the Garden of Eden, is physical death. And one thing that I love about our God is that when it came to His own Son, God could have intervened at any time and held back His Son from death, and He did not choose to do so, did He? He offered Him up. He allowed Him to die. And Jesus Himself had authority at any time. Do you not know that I could call out 72,000 angels? We have stopped this thing right now. But it was for the ultimate good, wasn't it? And we got to remember that sometimes in the particulars. Trying to make sense of them. Look, Jesus has told us about the grass of the field. And Jesus has told us about the birds of the air. Are you not more valuable than the birds of the air? Not one hair of your head shall perish without the Lord's knowledge. And He's let a lot of mine perish. He knows. He got a purpose. He got a reason. Everything that He does. And so, I'm not in any way saying these things are easy, brethren. We've been through a lot in this congregation lately. But we keep trusting God. And I personally think the Lord is preparing us for what's coming. Is our faith going to be in ourselves? Our trust going to be in ourselves, or going to be in God who raises the dead? I'm pretty confident. I am no prophet, but I am pretty confident that some things that are coming on the horizon, every single one of us are going to be put through the wringer. And the arm of flesh will fail you. We need to trust in the Lord. I'm super appreciative of the stewardship and Lord's Supper meditation. I really get motivated and encouraged by the brethren. You know, life, this maze, this journey, this long distance trek down here, you know, the world tugging and pulling and putting you in that pressure cooker. And I get encouraged by the assembly of the saints. I get built up. I get edified. And I thank you guys for that. I'm appreciative. You know, the stewardship just really reminds us. And the hymns today. The hymns today were, there was so much emphasis on heaven. On the eternal. You know, that I'll fly away. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And there's the one about the, you know, the mansion and the, you know, what Will was talking about, there's one thing that matters. And to be able to see by faith, you know, it's a, to see by faith those who are yet to be here, a part of the kingdom. To see people and to see what the Lord can do. To see, you know, people who are, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And boy, do they need the chief shepherd and guardian of our souls. Amen? Amen. So let's keep sharing. And then the Lord's Supper meditation was wonderful too. Where are we going to focus? You know, we do come and we proclaim the Lord's death around this table. But we proclaim the Lord's death until what? Until He comes again. Inherent in that message is the life of Jesus Christ. We preach through Romans, you know, we're justified by His death. Okay? We're reconciled by His death. How we're saved by His life. There's a reason that this meal means something that we partake of. Because our King is eating it with us. In the heavenly places, and He's alive forevermore. He's the one who says, I hold the keys of death and of Hades. Man, I get goosebumps when I think about that. What an awesome King we serve. And He is alive forever. Appreciate you guys motivating and encouraging me this morning. Romans chapter 8. Yes, Mr. Simpson. Bet waterboarding, torture designed long ago. This one they just they never let up, right? That'd be my preference. Finish me off. But anyways, thank you, Mr. Simpson. Romans chapter 8, verses 1-4. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, You are the great I am. You are the God of life. But these things have been written so that we may believe in the one whom You have sent, and believing that we may have life in His name. We're so thankful for Jesus Christ, our champion, our Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, the one who has rescued us from this present evil age. Lord, what a blessing it is that You have put Your Spirit within us and made us alive. That truly You have breathed Your life into us, not just with the physical creation, with the bios, but with the eternal life, the life of the Spirit, the Zoe life. Father, we're thankful for the freedom. We're thankful for the righteousness that You give us through Jesus Christ. I ask that You be with me today as I preach Your word. Lord, that all of us would really, really understand what You have done for us, what You continue to do for us, and what Your intention is, Lord, with each one of us. That this would be for Your honor and for Your glory. That Your name would be praised throughout the world through Your church, and that the whole earth would be filled with Your glory as the waters cover the sea. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Then working through the book of Romans, and you know, In Romans chapter 7, the end of Romans chapter 7 describes this state of wretched man that I am. The very things I want to do, I don't do. The very things I hate, I do. Wretched man that I am. Who will set me free? Brother, I think anybody who cares about righteousness, who has reached the age of accountability, has been in that state. You know, it's amazing to me. I think the more spiritual a person is, the more they feel the weight of sin. You consider Jesus for a second. When He is on the cross, somewhere on that cross, He Himself bore our sins in His body. Amen? He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. And I think at that point in time is where Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt it immediately. His relationship that had been with the Father for eternity was that was separated. There was a separation, the great divorce there that took place while He was on the cross. And I'm thankful that He bore our sins. And I'm thankful that He was able to offer up His Spirit, though, to the end, to the Father. So, you know, sometimes people tell you Jesus went to hell. That's a misunderstanding, a mistranslation, I think, in the King James Version of the Bible. Jesus went to the good part. But while He was on the cross, my point is, He felt it. He knew it. And so anybody that really wants righteousness, you feel this in Romans chapter 7. It's amazing to me. I understand that every human soul is equally valuable. But just watching the way that Satan works in this world, people who have something on the inside, who really want to be great, or who feel deeply, man, Satan goes after them extra hard. We see a world that's, you know, you look at all the addiction that's out there. Satan just banned work, man. He's destroying. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what are you going to do? See, it bothers me. There are a whole lot of Christians that say, you're going to be stuck in Romans chapter 7, the end of this, for all of your life. And I think, man, how motivating is that for me to walk into somebody's house and say, hey, here's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to save you from your sin, but it's going to continue to kick your rear end the rest of your life. That's not the good news, brother. The good news, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what Romans 8 is about. And so Romans 8 verse 1, we started on last week. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law is called the ministry of death. It's called the ministry of condemnation. The law says guilty as charged. Anybody ever read the book Scarlet Letter? The lady who was the adulteress, and she has to, you know, they back in the Puritan days, and some scarlet letter they had to let everybody know, hey, this is who you are. Guys, that's what the law has done to every one of us. It branded us. Sinner. Guilty. This is who you are. And there is no amount of goodness that we could ever do. We have no means of some sort of tattoo cover-up for that one. Couldn't do it. Only Jesus can. And so Romans 8 verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To set us free from the guilt of sin is primarily what we talked about last week. And the blood of Christ, the only currency available in heaven above or earth beneath, is valuable enough to pay the price for our sins. Jesus paid it. He paid it in full. No condemnation. So, a couple things though I was thinking about. I don't know how many of you guys knew me. There's not very many people in here knew me as a boy. A few of you did. And I think by all external accounts, people would have said I was a pretty good boy. I always wanted to do what was right, and And I remember at 8 years old going to like the Peaks clinics and the messages, you know, just burn inside of me. I just always been interested for sure in spiritual things. And by all accounts, I was a pretty good boy. But I debated whether or not I should bring this up this morning, but Mikkel, he comes up here for openings and always tells these kids stories about stuff he did, and I think gives them all sorts of new ideas. But by all accounts, I was a pretty good boy, but I did make the police reports in Bozeman, Montana. I can't give any details, because then I'd be breaking another law, because I promised my fellow participant that I would never spill the beans about that. They didn't get our names. Thanks to the courage of my fellow participant. I'll leave it at that. They didn't get our names. But, you know what? And my parents were out of town. And I was glad they were out of town. My dad always read the newspaper and always read the police. I don't think there was quite enough information, but I hid that paper. Just in case. You know, the law condemns. Guilty. Guilty is charged. Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay. The follow-up, the blood of Christ, able to pay that price. The follow-up is really how do we get into Christ? Because if you're not in Christ, you're still guilty. Okay. And God knows, even if the police didn't know any more details enough to be able to track me down. God knows. God knows. And so, how do we get into Christ? There's only two places in the New Testament, at least in New American Standard, that the terminology into Christ is actually used. Now, I want to be in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 6, we've covered this recently. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ Jesus, have been immersed into His death. If we were to draw a line on the board here, and we have this separation, and we have those who are out of Christ. We have all sorts of terms we can put on that, but I'm just going to use that one. Or we have those who are in Christ. The big question is, how do we get from here to here? Romans 6:3, we are immersed into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. I'll start in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are immersed into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. This is the way in, guys. And understanding all the things that we've talked about, the blood of Christ. But for this blood to cleanse my conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. Only the blood of Christ can do that. But for that to cleanse my conscience, I have to participate in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Okay. Let's hit this from 1 Peter chapter 3. I liked Roger's emphasis, actually, on in the Lord's Supper today, the very end of it. It's something to think about. Because, yes, we do consider Christ's death at the Lord's Supper. But our thoughts don't stop there, do they? Okay? Our thoughts don't continue to focus on the crucifixion. Our thoughts end up going all the way to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to His ascension, to where He is seated on the throne. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, is referring back to Noah and his family being brought safely through the water. In verse 21, it says, corresponding to that, immersion now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to Him. And some of us in this room, we're still in our sins. Some of us are, you know, we got that. If our conscience wasn't bugging us, I don't think we'd be here. But we got that nagging voice there, and we're trying, how are we going to deal with this? We got to come to Christ, don't we? In Christ, there's no condemnation. And so, believing in who Jesus is, who the Scripture says that Jesus is. Okay? Not a Jesus of your own imagination or another Jesus, as the Bible refers to, or a different gospel. Believing in the Jesus whom God sent into this world, the Jesus whose name has been called the Word of God. Okay? We believe in Him. We repent. We're willing to change our thinking and say, God, Your way is right. Whatever those details are, as I figure them out, I am committed to making the changes You want me to make, because You're right. And God's ways are good. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus said, He who denies Me before men, I'll deny him before My Father is in heaven. If you confess Me before men, I'll confess you before My Father who is in heaven. To proclaim His name, to say, yes, Jesus is Lord, and then to be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how we get into Christ. In this, if this is where you are, brethren, there is therefore now no condemnation. Guys, I can't tell you. I tried to last week, but I can't tell you enough for me in my life how important that has been for me. It's like me, when it comes to swimming or water sorts of things, I'm a little chicken. I'm not a good swimmer. So I get a little panicky in situations where the more panicky you get and the harder you try, the worse you do. Here the Lord says, here's a life jacket. I got you. But life, okay, now we're going to learn how to do this. There's a situation where now in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Now God can work with me, and He can start wherever I am, wherever you are. You got to start somewhere. You know, I saw a young guy this weekend, and he's a little guy. He's a cute little guy. You wouldn't probably like me saying that, but you know what? He's 14 years old, I think about 5 foot tall. He just started, and I said something to him about, I'd heard he'd been lifting. He goes, yeah, not very much. It's like, it doesn't matter. Lifting weight. You start where you start. Every single one of us, wherever we are, we start where we start. And the Lord's going to help us get to where He wants us to go. So, to be in a position where now, there's no condemnation. You're not afraid of failure and not afraid of being judged. The accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, right? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, I can actually get to work and allow Christ to work in me. To perform righteousness, produce righteousness within me. Our sins are forgiven and they're forgotten. No fear. Freedom. Freedom in Christ. Okay. Our boss, our Lord, our King, He says, I believe in you. Go for it. Don't worry about making mistakes. Get your mind right. Get your mind set on the things of the Spirit, and I will help you take care of the rest. I really, you know, there's a misconception about grace. Grace in the Greek is charis. It means gift. And it's literal, if you were to translate it literally, it's gift. Now, there's a lot of times grace is used in the New Testament, and you have to look at the context to see what that gift is. Matter of fact, what Will was alluding to, that we've been reading there in 2 Corinthians. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus, isn't it? That's His gift. He gave up His riches to make us rich. That's an example. I've heard it said by Steve Doty, one of my favorite preachers, grace is space. There's an aspect of grace. It's a gift that God gives us, room to grow. This is no condemnation. There's freedom here. Relax. God isn't here to zap you every time you make a mistake. It's space to grow. But that's not where grace ends. A lot of people think about grace and, okay, well now we're in, we do whatever we want. That's not where grace ends. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Grace empowers us, guys, to overcome. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. And when we come to the throne of grace, we find both mercy I'm thankful for that. Many times I need the Lord's mercy. But it doesn't stop there. Oh, and grace to help in time of need. Grace is something we're to grow in. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I heard Josh Kelly one time give a Lord's Supper meditation and along these lines, and it just stuck with me. Back in the days of the days of the kings and the knights and all that, and the king sends you out, okay, to carry out his bidding, to carry out his will, and you come into one of the villages and the trumpets blow and everybody comes around and the scroll is unrolled. And it says, by the favor of the king. By the favor of the king. This is what's going to happen. And guys, it's by the favor of the king. God's grace, his gift, his intention in the lives of every one of us is for us to overcome sin and self. For him to be alive in us. For us to be able to carry out the good commission, the great commission, to go and make disciples. And you know what Jesus said about disciples in Luke chapter 6? The disciple, when he's been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus is our teacher, isn't he? He's able to carry this out in our lives. And so, we have this tremendous grace and favor now that we're in Christ Jesus. And it's not for us to do our will. It's for us to carry out His will by the favor of the King. And God's going to give us everything necessary to accomplish that task. I'm thankful for that. I look around sometimes at the size of the task and it is daunting. I sometimes can struggle a little bit internally about, I don't know if I'm the guy to be able to do this. And you know what? By myself, I can't. But with God's help, the resources of heaven are all there to help us get this done. And so, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Bible reads, you guys notice this? Prior to being a Christian, this thing will rip you apart. This thing will pin you to the wall. This thing will nail you. This thing will make you feel like it's supposed to. You need a Savior. Once you're a Christian, though, this thing reads differently, doesn't it? This thing tells us who we are in Christ. Tells us God's plan. Tells us who He's made us to be. This is what Kevin was talking about in his class. The light. You are the light of the world. All this good stuff. I'm not going to spend any more time on that. But I'm thankful for Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He goes on to say, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. We talked about that, what that was like before, the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. And it is a vicious cycle. Romans 7 describes it really well. But we remember what that was like. Satan had us by the tail. He wagged us around the way a dog wags its tail. Satan did that to us. Let us. We were held captive by him to do his will. Each of us, in my analogy, each of us had a tattoo that was given by Satan to show that we were his slave. You know, you think about in the book of Revelation 666. You know, this mark of the beast. And what is this mark of the beast? And I know that my position is different than a lot of you here, but when I look at this and I read the Greek for what it says. The number is that, my Bible says of a man. But if you look at it, the number is that of man. And Adam's, you know what the name Adam means? Man. I just think there's two different brands that people carry. You either have the mark of the beast, and you are held captive by Satan, ultimately to do his will. You will be on, you know, you read the book of Revelation, the dragon. He has some major allies. He got world government, guys. They're on his side. He got false doctrine teachers. He got the false prophet. He on his side. He got the world, the allure of the world. That's on his side. Oh, and you know what? He's also got Your neighbors, the ones who have the mark of the beast, they're on His side. And then the Lord has His, who have the seal of Christ on their forehead. But that's, we have that mark of the beast, and that's been replaced. We, you know, the mindset of sinners, I was thinking about, okay, so the police reports have something about Luke Wilson. Well, they never got my name, so I'm safe. But they had something about me. But you know what? That's nothing, honestly. The Lord knows every thought I've ever had. He's heard every harsh word that I've ever spoken. And every wrong thing I've done. And that used to be my identity. You don't want it to be, but Satan keeps throwing it in your face. This is who you are. This is who you are. That's the brand. Sinner. And Christ comes and He set the law of the Spirit of life has set us free. He removes that and replaces that with the seal of Christ. Now, what are my thoughts? I take every thought captive. Obedience of Jesus Christ. What are my words? My words speak life. Only that which is good for edification. And what are my deeds? I glorify God in my body. This is who God says I am. This is the new me. This is the new you. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free. So, Christ, we know this. Christ didn't come simply to forgive us from the consequences of sin. He came to set us free from sin itself. Go with me to Luke chapter 11. See, I don't know about you guys, but I find that if you listen to the message of the so-called Christian world, there is an emphasis on forgiveness of sins. But there isn't really any emphasis on overcoming sin. Because it's almost like they bring you to this point and God's willing to forgive you, but you're never going to change. That's not the full gospel. Hey, that's not the full gospel at all. In Luke chapter 11, I'm just going to read two verses here. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own homestead, his possessions are undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor on which he had relied and distributes his plunder. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. You know, my understanding of this scripture, and I'll let you get all the context and see what you think, but Satan was a strong man. He held us. We were his possessions. He kept us under lock and key. But somebody stronger than him came. There is somebody yet stronger. He came. And what the events that happened at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection and his ascension, the long and the short of it is, God stripped Satan of all of his armor. They stripped him down naked, put a chain on him, and marched him through the streets of heaven. Captive. Chained by him. Jesus Christ is the strong man. And he set us free. He released us from that. And so, you know, is Jesus able to do? Is he able to help me overcome sin in my life? Absolutely. Is he able to help you overcome sin in your life? Absolutely. If we don't believe that, guys, then who do you think is stronger? Jesus or the devil? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, we know Jesus came for this very purpose. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And we know this is our victory. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You read the book of Revelation, guys, the letters to the churches. Who do the rewards go? To him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. Not to him, not to him who struggles. I'm not saying there isn't a struggle. There's a fight. But this is not just the concept of, well, I'm just going to be here and I'm just going to kind of grind through this. That's not Jesus' intention. The law of the Spirit of life. Remember Jesus talking about the abundant life? I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. The law of the Spirit of life is now what is manifested in our lives. And so, Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, just wrapping this up this morning. For what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know how most people read Romans 8, verse 4? In order the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in Jesus. It's not what it says. The requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. On that, the Greek has to do with the kaios. It's the righteous, I think King James, New King James say the righteous requirement of the law. And that's the right translation. What is the requirement of the law? Righteousness. What the law could not produce, what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did. Because God's plan is that in His people, that righteous requirement of the law is going to be fulfilled. Now, it's not going to happen by us trying to fulfill the law. If that's what our goal is, we're going to end up in Romans 7 and we're going to fail. It's going to happen as we set our mind on the things of the Spirit. As we walk by faith, it's almost like this side benefit here is going to be the law is fulfilled in us. Let me ask you this question. When Jesus came, think about it this way. When Jesus came to earth, was His goal to meet the law? To meet all the requirements of the law? That wasn't His goal, was it? His goal was to please the Father. To glorify the Father. And so, Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. He started. He shows us how it's done. And He did it. And so, as He set out to please the Father in everything, and He did. He always did the things that were pleasing in His Father's sight. The law, the righteous requirement of the law was fulfilled in Him. Hey, the law keepers, those who set themselves up as the standard, as the referees, they didn't always think He kept the law. But they were wrong. He did. People aren't always going to think you keep the law, maybe. But they can be wrong. If they're looking at this from the perspective of law, they're going to be wrong. Our goal is not to fulfill the law. Our goal is to walk by the Spirit. We set our mind on the things of the Spirit, and what happens is this righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us. What the law couldn't do, God did. We've talked about this, so I'm just going to briefly finish this up. What did He do? He sent His Son as an offering for sin. We talked about this. Jesus paid the price in full. Yesterday's failures, guys, where are they? They've been nailed to the cross. I'm thankful for that. Satan wants to come up and say, yeah, but yesterday, be gone, Satan. That is nailed to the cross. Jesus paid the price in full. Nothing left for me to pay. And so I can move on. And with that, the excuse of yesterday's failure is gone. Sometimes we allow... the problem is if we allow ourselves, our identity to be wrapped up in our past life. Okay? Did God mean what He said when He said, I make all things new? Behold, all things are new. New creation, right? Old things have passed away. New things have come. Where are the old things? They've passed away. You want to know what your past life is, brother? There is one revisionist history that's allowed. It's not what our government's trying to do. Go over to Colossians really quickly. We do have to get through our past. All of us do. And so, God has a means of helping us do that. There is a death, and there's a burial, and there's a resurrection. That burial takes place in the waters of immersion. But we gotta get this new picture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, see at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. It's a simple illustration, and you guys are probably tired of hearing it. But if God decides to hide something, who can find it? I've asked the young kids, hey, give me one of those hot pink shirts, and let's try to hide it on one of the walls of this church building here. Okay? We'll go, everybody go outside, circle around the building once, come back in, we'll see if we can find it. If it's a hot pink shirt and they gotta hide it on one of these walls, we're gonna find it. But what about God if God decides to hide that? He can change the color, the texture, go and blend that thing in. You could go over it with a fine tooth comb and never find it. What is our life? Our life is the life of Christ. Christ is our life. And so, I encourage you. This is something I do. I read through the Gospels and I see things that Jesus says. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I get to say that. I get to say, the Father has never left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Isn't that who I am now? You want to know who you are. You want to know your past life. Quit talking about your... you got to deal with this stuff, so take this right, please, when I say this. But you got to quit talking about your dysfunctional parents and grandparents. There's some real stuff there. But we use a lot of that for excuses to keep on being dysfunctional. That's not who we are anymore. That old person's dead. The things you've done are gone. The things that have been done to you are gone. You want to know your life? Your life is that of Jesus Christ. The law couldn't do that. What the law could not do, God did. He sent His Son as an offering. And He also sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. I like that. I want to know. Sometimes people will show me, Luke, people accuse me a little bit of being a sinless perfectionist. I don't use that term. I just want to be like Christ. But Jesus did say, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And I don't think He was messing around when He said that. That's His intention. Okay. But, show me one person. You show me somebody who's perfect. Okay. Jesus Christ. Did He come in the likeness of sinful flesh? Was He made like His brethren in all things? Was He made like... You guys are all tired today. Me too. Was He made like His brethren in all things? Yes. Tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin? Yes. You know what Jesus did? He proved it can be done. Hey, whose spirit lives inside of you? His. The same spirit who did it before. Can He do it again? Yes. He can. And that's His intention in your life. We're talking about faith here in Romans. Let's live by faith. Let's believe what God says about us. Let's see.